Hi, everyone. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford, sitting next to my colleague Wes Hodkowitz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, the bye weekend has come and gone, so the Packers now looking ahead to a game next Monday Night Football at Lambeau Field against the Detroit Lions. And I guess if there's one statistic to talk about here with the Packers not having played a game, it's that in Mike McCarthy's previous 11 seasons as Packers head coach, Green Bay is 9-2 coming off of the bye. Now, I know there are some added challenges, obviously, this year with Brett Hundley at quarterback getting ready to make his second NFL start. But Mike McCarthy, more often than not, has been able to get his Packers to use the bye week to their advantage and really kind of get things turned in the right direction more often than not.
Yeah, Mike, the thing that I think stands out to me the most when I go back and look over the years of Mike McCarthy and his time as head coach and how the Packers have performed coming out of that bye week is adjustments. The 2014 season, I think, is really the one that you could point to the most in terms of how powerful a bye week can be. That's when they made the adjustment. Clay Matthews moving to inside linebacker. Chicago Bears were not ready for it. Offensively, they got rolling. Defensively, with him in the middle of the defense next to A.J. Hawk, really shut down the Bears in that contest and became a huge difference maker during the second half of that season. Really, that's what it's all about. McCarthy mentioned even before they went into the bye, before the team and before the coaches, I should say, were dismissed for the week, they conducted a self-scout across the hall meetings where they'll look, you know, the offense looks at the defense looks at the offense and try to figure out some things that they can do differently going into the second half, basically prepping as if that was a game against themselves.
Sure.
And I think when you take that approach, certainly a lot of things the Packers have to overcome right now, namely Aaron Rodgers not as their quarterback, but it's also, I think, sometimes where a lot of the maybe blind spots can, you know, things can be brought to light a little bit more.
Yeah, you mentioned the move with Clay Matthews back in 2014, which is the one that stands out the most. And I wonder, I don't know if there's a schematic adjustment to that scale or to that degree necessarily that the Packers can make at this stage with where they are and with all the injuries that have been dealt with all along. But you just wonder, as the Packers come out of this bye week now and get ready for a Monday night game against a division rival in Detroit, what sorts of potential changes and tweaks maybe will the coaches make? And there may be some things that we're not necessarily going to notice to the naked eye as far as how things are moving along. But yeah, 2014, that change with Clay Matthews was really a change that saved the defense in that particular season. With this one, I think the biggest focus, obviously, other than Hundley and getting him ready for his second NFL start, is just to try as best you can to get as many guys healthy as possible with all of the injuries the Packers have dealt with through their first seven games, Aaron Rodgers notwithstanding. You want to get as many of your frontline players, your frontline starters, ready for the long haul here now with Brett Hundley as the quarterback for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, and I'm never one, I've said it before, I'll say it again, I'm never one to quantify the unquantifiables. It kind of became my line this year,
yeah,
where it's just one simple answer and everything will change.
Sure.
But I will say, outside of Aaron Rodgers, who, I mean, he's the kingpin, he's where everything starts, I think Morgan Burnett's going to be a big one for this team, too. Seeing where he's at, he was missing the last two games, was not able to practice at all after tweaking that hamstring injury. I just think that he's not going to solve everything defensively for them, but he's so important in terms of not only what he gives you on the field as a middle, you know, a playmaker near the line of scrimmage, but also his communication value. Mm-hmm. I think if they can get him back, it gets HaHa Clinton Dix back at his best natural position. I think it really helps this defense settle down a little bit. We're going to have to see. We don't know. Sometimes these bye weeks, it also doesn't give you everybody back. There's going to be some guys who are still missing, who are still going to be limited.
Yeah.
But it does give the Packers a chance to finally catch their breath a little bit.
And I think on the other side of the ball, when you look at Brett Hundley and what's going to give him the best chance for success, it's about getting that offensive line healthy. I mean, how many times have we heard it over the years from Mike McCarthy? The best offensive lines are the ones that practice and play together day after day, week after week. And this Packers offensive line in 2017, they haven't played together week right. after week, let alone been able to practice together on any sort of regular basis during the week. You hope that Brian Bulaga and David Bakhtiari at the tackle positions are maybe over the hump as far as their injuries are concerned with getting some extra time off. We don't know quite where Lane Taylor is going to be. He was the one, I guess, with the most significant injury at the time that that the bye week hit. But if the Packers can get that starting five on the offensive line and get them together for a number of games in a row, I think things might start to look a little different on offense.
Yeah, and I had a chance to talk with Justin McCray a little bit before the Packers went into their bye week. And while he's done an admirable job with what's been asked of him playing left guard, right tackle, left tackle, even one situation,
yeah,
he was the first one to admit when the Packers have their starting offensive line out there, they're and they're healthy, that's what gives this offense the best chance to win. If Taylor's back at left guard, and especially when you look at Bakhtiari and Bulaga at the two tackle spots, because that's really the biggest hiccup for the Packers right now in trying to replace those two guys. We did see during the bye week they released Don Barclay, so he's not going to be coming back off of injured reserve. So it really, right now, depending on which direction they go, if maybe Jason Spriggs can come back later this season, while a guy like Justin McCray has a lot of value for playing all those different spots, there's really, you can't say enough about what the value is of having that starting five out there and being able to keep them on the field week after week.
Yeah, no question about it. And for those wondering, that 9-2 record by Mike McCarthy's Packers after a bye week, the two losses, 2008, an overtime loss at Tennessee, and 2015, a loss at Denver in a primetime game when the Packers actually went into that game 6-0, if I'm not mistaken. So Mike McCarthy and the Packers looking to get to 10-2 after a bye now. But with that, we're going to throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford in this chair, Wes Hodkiewicz in that one. And Wes, the Packers' upcoming opponent on Monday Night Football, the Detroit Lions, we just saw them play on Sunday Night Football at home against the Pittsburgh Steelers, a big game at Ford Field, and one that the Detroit Lions could be regretting for quite some time because they moved the ball up and down the field, 480-some yards of total offense, if I'm not mistaken, but five field goals, two fourth and goals that they get stopped, and one of them from the one-yard line. They only come away with 15 points despite all that offensive yardage, and they lose a tough one at home to a pretty good Pittsburgh Steelers
team. Yeah, unfortunately for them, the two things that really forsake them in this game, one was the fact they weren't able to finish drives. You end up having to settle for the field goals, how much of a difference that can make in a ball game. We've seen it before. But two, they just got beaten by big plays, and it was one thing that I think their offense was lacking in this particular contest. They struggled to get the running game going. You mentioned our pre-production meeting that, you know, they just haven't had that Kelvin Johnson-type go-to threat for Matthew Stafford.
Yeah.
Yes, you've had Jones, you know, do it at times. You certainly have a playmaker who can catch the ball in Golden Tate, but neither one of those guys is really the dynamic sort of threat downfield. So this is kind of a gut check time for them. I, you know, 3 weeks ago I was sitting here saying, okay, they're off to a fast start again. Maybe we'll see what they can do against the Atlanta Falcons. Well, then suddenly you string three losses together, and now you're 3-4 and have some big questions going into Lambeau Field next Monday night.
Yeah, definitely. The Lions 3-4, and I mentioned this in our Insider Inbox column. If there's one area the Detroit Lions are going to work on this week with, you know, getting the extra day with the Monday night game at Lambeau Field, it's going to be their red zone offense because they know that if they just punch in a couple of these touchdowns, against the Steelers, as well as they move the ball against Pittsburgh, that they come away with a big win, and then they're sitting at 4-3, and they're tied with the Packers, and you know they're only a game and a half, whatever it would be, behind the Minnesota Vikings in the North. But this is one that that the Lions feel like they let get away. Obviously, the big swing was fourth and goal from the one. Pittsburgh gets the stop. A couple of plays later, Pittsburgh has third down from its own 3-yard line. And Ben Roethlisberger goes over the top to Juju Smith-Schuster.
Schuster-Smith. Yeah, you got it.
Okay.
Smith-Schuster.
And he goes the distance, 97 yards for a touchdown, a 14-point swing in a matter of just a few seconds. And the Detroit Lions let a game get away. Their other challenge, aside from obviously the red zone offense now, is when you lose a game like this that you can regret so much. For the Detroit Lions, they can't let this game beat them twice.
Right.
You know, they have to they have to be able to flush this one and move on, and these can be tough to move on from.
Yeah, and the Packers will have no issue whatsoever if they prefer to beat themselves twice. You know, that's their prerogative.
Yeah.
But you're right. And the other thing that stands out to me in this game, I don't know. You're obviously the Spofford stats and info guy. I don't know if I can remember a game in which a quarterback threw for over 400 yards and didn't have a touchdown pass.
Yeah,
that is almost unheard of to have that much production but not have any of those break for a touchdown. 1 yard, 99 yards, whatever, you know, what have you. So,
and for the offense in general to not get any touchdowns. Nobody ran one in. No, I mean, you know, nothing like that. So yeah, I think I read that it was the first time that a team had had – I believe it was more than 475 yards of offense, did not have multiple turnovers, and yet did not score 20 points in a game. It's the first time in NFL history.
Yeah, a lot of sports bureau or whoever's doing that is certainly making their money there. But that being said, I go back to what I've said all along, that the one thing, even when they've had some really good runs here with the Lions recently, they just haven't had a dominating type presence. I mean, Amir Abdullah is a pretty decent running back. He's had some moments, but they just haven't had that guy that just controls a football game. Kelvin Johnson was that player. He was the guy that when you threw up the film, this is who we need to cue in on. And that's not no disrespect to Golden Tate, but I mean, like, I think that goes so far. And right now it just seems like, and obviously Jim Bob Cooter comes in last year. He jumps into that role. They turn the offense around. They have a lot of success. But sometimes, you know, you do hit those moments where it's like, okay, that's the honeymoon period. Now, what is the whole thing going to look like? And I think that's what the Lions are going to have to figure out. And defensively, certainly for that aspect of it too, a lot of stuff they've had to overcome on that side of the ball as well.
Yeah, it's interesting the way this season has unfolded for the Lions, because I believe, if I remember right, last year the Lions won 9 games. They had a shot, obviously, at the 10th win in Week 17 against the Packers to win the division, and Green Bay won that game. But of the Lions' 9 victories last season, 8 of them involved coming from behind in the fourth quarter.
Right.
We all know how precarious that can be. And some of that fourth quarter magic here for the Detroit Lions has worn off a little bit. You know, they thought they had beaten the Atlanta Falcons, but they're an inch short or whatever the call is, you know, with the clock hitting zero. And then all these opportunities in the red zone down the stretch against the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they can't get the ball in the end zone to win the ball game. So You live in the fourth quarter, you die in the fourth quarter too, and the Lions are kind of just riding that roller coaster right now.
Yeah, and like I said, this is going to be a week that Jim Caldwell is going to have to sit down with his guys. They do have that extra day now with the Monday night football game to reassess where they are and try to figure out their path forward. But it is a difficult stretch to go through when you have that much production, but you can't translate it into points. That's the number one thing in the NFL. You can put up all the yards you want. You can have all these glossy stats as best as you can. But if you don't get in the end zone, it's going to be really difficult for you to pull out that W.
Yeah, and I'm curious to see now when the Lions come into Lambeau Field on Monday night after all of these red zone woes against the Steelers, how creative do they get in the red zone now? How far do they dig into the playbook? You know, we could see some creative opportunities once they get in scoring range at Lambeau Field. But we'll have to wait for Monday night for that. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford here, Wes Hodkowitz over there. And Wes, looking at the state of the NFC North right now, we mentioned the Detroit Lions are 3-4 after the loss to the Steelers. The Packers are 4-3 in second place, and looking up at the Minnesota Vikings, who are 6-2, they are at the midway point of their season, 8 games in. The Vikings now have their bye week after taking care of business in London against a winless Cleveland Browns team. Vikings continue to find a way to win with that strong defense and a backup quarterback in Case Keenum. And, you know, now they're the ones kind of sitting in the catbird seat.
Yeah, they are. I mean, I don't want to turn this into just ripping on the Browns, but it's like, I mean, this is what was supposed to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, this is in some ways, if you're the cynical type of viewpoint, that you'd say this was their first bye week, you know, before their second. I mean, and it's just, I had a chance to watch some of this game, obviously, with it being the England game earlier in the morning. The Browns are just lost. I mean, they are in a funk right now. And if you're the Packers, you almost wish you could have caught them right around this time, too, because they're shuffling these quarterbacks. I mean, Isaiah Crowell, I think, is a talented back, but they're having a hard time getting him going. Now you lose Joe Thomas.
Yeah.
Defensively, they've done some nice things this year at times, but at the end of the day, the Vikings need to win this football game. And Case Keenum, to his credit, we saw it when they played the Packers before, he's a game manager. He's smart. He makes good decisions with the football, and that put them in the driver's seat to win this game, along with the fact that Jerick McKinnon is a pretty well-rounded threat now, too. He's sort of stepped up when you don't have Delvin Cook. So, yeah, they're in a good point. They're in a good place right now for where they're at going into this bye week and now trying to keep this thing going forward. I guess the question I have more than anything else right now is all this, you know, kind of circulation and rumor about Teddy Bridgewater. Could he be ready? Could he play? Interested to see how they handle it, because I, you know, as of right now, it just doesn't seem like Sam Bradford's anywhere near to being back out there.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it, and I know a lot of people are saying, well, yeah, now the Vikings are 6-2, the Packers don't have Aaron Rodgers, the Detroit Lions now have 4 losses, so this is the Minnesota Vikings division to lose. I don't necessarily look at it that way. I definitely see the Vikings as the team to beat in the NFC North right now, but if you look at their remaining schedule, they have road games at Washington, at Carolina, at Atlanta, and then plus 2 division road games at Detroit and at Green Bay right around Christmas time. So I believe their at Detroit game is on Thanksgiving. So
correct.
They're doing those division road games around the holidays and all of that. So as good a position as the Minnesota Vikings are in, trust me, they have not won anything yet, and you know Mike Zimmer is delivering the message to these guys as they dismiss for their bye week. They have not won anything yet.
Absolutely, and the Vikings have been in this position before where they've gotten off to a good start and then just aren't able to hold it up. I think if I'm Mike Zimmer, you certainly tip your cap and you congratulate your team on taking care of business in the first half of the season. The reason they're leading the division, the reason that they're in the driver's seat right now is because they have these litany of games at home. And they dominated. They won. They were able to do what they were supposed to do on their home field. Now the second half is going to be a challenge because you are traveling a lot. When you do get back to U.S. Bank Stadium, you're taking on a Los Angeles Rams team, which arguably might be the most improved team in the NFL right now. And really a team that I think has, you know, caught a lot of people by surprise. So, yeah, by no means is this thing over. And I think if you've seen any NFC North race, Mike, over the last 5 years, that last game that the Packers are involved in, it always has playoff implications. It might not always be for the division title as it was in 2012, but there's still something on the line. I've said it before. I'll say it again. I think it's the most underrated division in football. I don't think people give nearly enough credit towards what they've accomplished in the North over the years. And right now, if you're the Vikings, with everything that they've gone through at their quarterback position and the fact they lost Delvin Cook, I would have to be pretty happy if I'm Mike Zimmer.
Yeah, I think they're definitely happy with where they sit right now. And quickly, with regards to the Chicago Bears, a loss down in New Orleans to the Saints, Chicago now 2-5. But I think the Bears showing with the way their defense plays and with trying to develop their young quarterback in Mitch Trubisky with a solid running game, I think the Bears are showing that they're going to be a tough team to beat all the way along. That game in New Orleans, you know, the Zach Miller touchdown catch somehow gets overturned on replay on a play where he just has a horrific leg injury, and you wish the best for Zach Miller, a really productive and talented player in that Bears offense. But the Bears had their opportunities against a pretty hot Saints team, end up losing by 8 down in the Superdome, which is a tough place to play. I think Chicago's going to be a tough team to beat the second half of the season.
Yeah, I agree with you, and they're smart. I mean, I like the approach they're taking. I know the Packers and the Packer fans, they were talking a little bit about, well, the Packers, you know, with Brett Hundley and how they approached the offense in that first game. That is kind of the blueprint a lot of times when you look at these teams. That's what the Bears are doing right now.
Yeah.
They're being smart with their young quarterback. They're putting it on the run game. They've had some success with it, but it really is going to be dependent on what kind of strides Trubisky makes throughout the the course of the year.
Yeah, definitely. But time for a little sponsor business here, Wes. Picture this. You and a friend are sitting VIP in plush leather recliners watching the Packers on the 50-yard line at Lambeau Field. Nice picture, isn't it? Well, if you enter Cousin Sub's Best Seats in the House promotion, you and a guest could win a chance to kick back on the 50-yard line in style. 2 pairs of lucky Packers fans will be chosen prior to each home game for this VIP experience. Enter daily now through December 11 by completing the entry form and submitting. For complete rules and eligibility, go to packers.com/best seats. Cousin Subs, we believe in better. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, quickly before we go, you look at the landscape right now in the NFC as a whole. You mentioned the Los Angeles Rams in the NFC West. They're 5-2, tied for first place with the Seattle Seahawks at 5-2. Seattle pulling out a game where, once again, Russell Wilson, in a matter of 2 minutes, goes from being the GOAT to the hero, throws an interception with 2.5 minutes left, throws the winning touchdown pass with 20 seconds left. But that's Russell Wilson. But then you also look at the NFC South. New Orleans Saints at 5-2 on a five-game winning streak. Carolina Panthers at 5-3. Atlanta Falcons finally get a win over an AFC East team, now 4-3. You look at those two divisions and the way they're shaping up, somebody who's looks like could be a pretty good team is not going to make the playoffs because there isn't room for all of those teams I just mentioned in the postseason with the wild card situation.
Yeah, and I always go back to this, Michael. It's always about consistency. It's easy to get off to a fast start. It's harder to be able to sustain that throughout the course of the season. Just ask the Philadelphia Eagles from a year ago. But I think the difference is when you see these teams, the Saints, and then obviously a team like Seattle, the way that they've kind of rebounded despite some of the issues they had earlier this season, they have veteran quarterbacks and veteran leadership. So I think that gives them a natural edge. Very interested to see if the Rams can sustain this pace. Defensively, they're much improved. Wade Phillips has done a great job of using that personnel they've had there and making it fit his system.
Yep.
And then the Panthers, I just can't get a read on. It's so tough. I mean, yes, they dominated the Buccaneers, but it wasn't that impressive of a victory. Cam Newton was still inconsistent. So I think it really does come back to who's going to be the most consistent team over the course of a season.
Yeah, and you look at the NFC East, the Philadelphia Eagles with one loss sitting atop the entire NFC, and looks like maybe the Dallas Cowboys, the only team that might challenge the Eagles in that division. The Cowboys getting up above 500 now, and they're going to try to stay at least in the wild card hunt the rest of the way.
Same thing, trying to gain their footing and keeping that race. But right now, Philadelphia, they're doing some good things with Carson Wentz.
Yeah, all right. And with that, we will call it a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, you can find him at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford at Packers for the team account. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next time.